with a siren, that's even better. So obviously, his fire engines are is like the top of the list because they're just so impressive, you know, big, and especially if they're making a noise. But ambulances are great as well, and police cars are also good. And then anything else, like the RAC van with lights on it, or anything else that is bright with lights is cool, you know. But now he started to kind of distinguish between them. So he's kind of identifying the ambulance or the police car, etc. And there was a time where I would point them out as we were driving, but I don't have to do that now. He will spot them like around the corner, a mile away. I don't know how he does it. Long before I see any notices it. But the funny thing about a police car, and I hope none of you have had the pleasure of being pulled over by a police car. This is confession. I've actually had that blessing. So, but it's funny because, you know, if any other car would come behind me with flashing lights and make noises and stuff, I'd just ignore them. I think this is weird. Let's just try and get away from this person as quickly as possible. But when the police car comes next to you, behind you, and there's lights, and there's a noise or something, then a siren, then there is a bit of a healthy fear of God that comes upon you. Is it just me? You know, and you realize, I know, okay, whatever, I must get off the road. I must stop right now, okay? Because there must be no misunderstanding here. And this more so here in the UK than in South Africa, which is a very good thing, just saying. But it's actually such a powerful principle, because the moment you see this is a police car, everything changes. And you say, yes, sir, and you turn, you go, you do whatever is required. And it's not like that person is stronger physically. It's not like they have a faster car maybe than the other car, any other car that could try and do the same. Nothing in the car does it, but the moment you recognize that this is a police car, in other words, this person, he or she, has delegated authority from the Queen and from the Prime Minister to act on behalf of the law of the land. That is why we realize, like, I must stop right now. It's not their physical strength. It's not their anything else. It's because they have delegated authority. If you've seen some of these big, massive trucks hurtling down the highway, and you see a little, you know, traffic officer stepping into the road, there's no way he can physically force that truck to stop. But inevitably, if once the truck driver recognizes the uniform or the car, then it comes to a stop. And that's a principle I want us to keep in mind when we are praying on behalf of somebody else, specifically on behalf of our family, recognizing that I'm not in my own strength or in my own achievements going to achieve much, but because I pray in the name of Jesus, all of heaven and all angels and demons and everybody has to stand still and listen and pay attention when we invoke the name of Jesus Christ. And that is why we pray in the name of Jesus. And that is why when we invoke that name, that is why it's not cool to, and actually, you know, Christ says, do not take my name in vain. Because when we say it, there's such power. Amen? Okay, I need to go quicker. So that's how we pray. We pray in the name of Jesus. We come into his presence through the cross in no other way. Let's quickly look at Hebrews 4. Just refers to the high priest. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Again, he refers to Christ as the great high priest. And this is specifically meaningful to the Hebrews because of the history of the high priest. being the mediator. And he's now explaining to them that no longer is there a high priest in that temple, but now Christ is the one that mediates on our behalf. He's the one that has taken our sin. He's the one that mediates with us, with the Father. And he can sympathize with everything we are going through. Don't let the enemy convince you that nobody understands what you're going through. Don't let that place where you have hopelessness, where you feel nobody has ever gone through this, or this is the worst, and that kind of temptation to step into the trap of self-pity is a dangerous one, because we kind of almost lay down our authority. We lay down the victory of the cross. We don't walk in the fact that he is our mediator. And he sympathizes with what we're going through at any time. But just to go back to Hebrews 10, it says, let us draw near, in 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And it refers to the process that they used to do in the holiest of holies, when the high priest would make making atonement for the sins of the nation. He would sprinkle blood on what they call the mercy seat, and that blood of an ox would be sacrificed would atone. The blood was shed for the atonement of the sins of the nation. So this refers to that same sprinkling. Now with our now our hearts are sprinkled, but not anymore through the blood of animals, but through the blood of Christ. We are able to have a pure heart. We are able to have a clean conscience. The scripture speaks of a new slate. Okay. And then he says, hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. And that's another challenge when we are praying into something, and we are praying into a situation, or we're praying into a relationship, or we're praying about something that we trust in God for, or somebody that we're praying for, somebody that we're praying for salvation. It's so easy for us to get discouraged if we don't immediately see a change or a shift or something happening. And I was just again convinced and just convicted that how often do we hear from God, or we have a conviction to pray, but then soon we kind of waver. Excuse me. And I like how he puts this in here. He says, hold fast to the confession of our hope. So there's a powerful aspect of confession of hope. You know what? It hasn't happened yet, but my trust is in God. Sorry, guys. This is a new thing since this morning. So I'm going to make it short. But then he says, the reason why we can do this without wavering is, again, not because of anything we've done, not because of our big faith. It's because of the one we have faith in. Is the one who promised he is faithful. Amen. Excuse me. And then he says there, continues in 24, consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I think we actually do this quite well in terms of caring for one another, considering one another. But the powerful aspect here is that he says to stir up love and good works. So there are two aspects here, love for one another, love for our neighbor, love for people, but also good works, having... Again, the partnership aspect is continually there. Don't worry, we're still at the first scripture, so we're just working through that. Thanks. and then he says, not forsaking assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, even more so as you see the day approaching. Now, I want to really, obviously, preaching to the choir. Thanks. But I want to really encourage us to, even with stuff like small group, we're starting intercession again, trying again, finding the best time. But so please, input is welcome in terms of what time is better. But part of the reason why I'm feeling we should be looking at these things is because I feel prayer is still one of the most important things for us in terms of where we're at, in what God is doing in and through us in this community. And so we're starting intercession. We're doing it Friday mornings at the moment and also before the service. But whether it be at intercession, whether it be in a normal Sunday morning, whether it be a small group, I want to really encourage us with the words of Apostle here, not forsaking assembling of ourselves together. So I want us to encourage one another, encourage friends, family, that even if you would have noticed actually that in the last, say, year and a half, we've tried to clear the church calendar from too many things in the evenings. And the reason we've done that is to make sure that the core events, the core things that happen, happen properly. But also that we actually have time to minister to others, to actually get around to friends and family that don't know Christ, to actually have time to disciple people. I remember at the time being a student, obviously it's different. It's funny how when a student you're so sorry for yourself because your life is so busy and you know you have no time. But in fact, it's probably the most time you'd ever have in your life. But so I remember having almost every night something church-wise. Would it be intercession or Bible school or small group? Just almost without fail, most nights something would be happening. And but we've intentionally tried to clear the calendar to a place where, yes, we do small group, we do church and intercession if possible, but we also have time to be ministering to others. Amen. All right. I just want to quickly look at an example from, actually I want to skip Chronicles, okay, so that's going to take too long. Skip Chronicles, go to 1 Samuel 30, thank you, 6 to 8. Now this is, you might have heard me mention this, but this is such an amazing moment for me. You see King David having been in battle with his mighty men, with his army, and they return from battle to find that the enemy has plundered and burnt the city and taken all their families, everybody. They didn't harm them, but they've taken every last one with them and obviously plundered the place completely. And everybody is obviously weeping and in distress. And we take it there from verse 6. Now David, just the context, remember that King David was probably the most successful warrior in terms of the nation of Israel and the history of the Bible of all time. So just tap them on. So he was not scared of a fight or a battle or anything like that. This was the thing he was good at. In fact, the Lord actually said he's not going to build a temple because he had so much blood on his hands. Right? So he was good at the war thing. He was good at the chasing down the bad guys and making them pay thing. This is not something that was out of his comfort zone. Right? So verse 6, now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Because both, you know, his family had also been taken. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. And such a powerful moment, because if I have to put myself in David's shoes, I wouldn't waste 2 minutes thinking about this. You jump on your horse, if the horse has still got any breath in it because I just got back from battle. Get the guys together, sound the trumpet and pursue the guys, because every moment would count in terms of, you know, what they're going to do with your family. But how powerful is this moment that he has when he strengthens himself in the Lord, and then he inquires of the Lord. into something that most of us would think, this is a no-brainer. You have to do this. You have to pursue. Don't even think about this. But he pauses. He strengthens himself in the Lord. And then he inquires. In other words, he's humbling himself before God. He's saying, Lord, this is, you know what I would want to do, but what would you want have me do? And specifically in the context of him being such a powerful warrior and having a powerful army, that is such a beautiful example of meekness in terms of God. I'm coming to you to inquire in prayer. I have a big plan. I have lots of experience. I have whatever in this specific thing. But even in my strength, even in the thing I'm good at, I'm submitting my will. I'm submitting my instinct and my immediate reaction to you. I say, God, what is your purpose? What is your plan here? And I believe that is part of the reason why God calls David a man after his own heart. Somebody that, even in a moment like this, pauses and says, God, what should we do? Shall we pursue? And how many times did God give David such specific and very detailed instruction about how to pursue or how to attack or how to approach something? And it's so encouraging. And I believe that is what God wants to help do with us in prayer as well. You know, God speaks to us in dreams and visions. He speaks to us through words and scripture. So many ways. And it's so important that we learn. And this is something we learn. I just dealt with a situation this week. Somebody had a dream. And they found it quite odd. You know, what should we do with this dream now? And it seemed to coincide with something that was happening in the natural. And it was such a blessing to be able to encourage and say, most of the time when God warns or alerts us about something, sometimes you'd have a dream about somebody dying and you'd wake up freaked out, phone the person type of thing. But be careful. This is why we have to learn it, because often if you have a dream like that, well, I find mostly it's not because God is saying the person's going to die, but he's saying, pray, intercede, stand in the gap. Maybe there is an assignment on their health or on their safety, but that's why God speaks to us. So, and I found often God doesn't want me to even speak to that person or tell them about it directly, because they might not be able to handle it. But he wants me to pray and intercede. Amen? So, that the whole principle of us pausing, us hearing from God, inquiring of the Lord, and then following his direction and knowing that will lead to victory, whatever the situation is. Okay. All right, so I'm going to quickly look at some dates for next year. Now, the reason I want us to look at this is, firstly, we're going to pray, but secondly, I want us to just extend our faith. You're going to go one more, it'll go a bit closer. You can even take a photo if you want. But I know, okay, most of these are in South Africa, all right, so I'm aware of that. So we don't normally advertise events in South Africa. But some of these, as we go on through the year, we obviously in the next couple of weeks we'll be having more dates available, and we'll make them available to you as soon as we have them, even for events in Europe, etc. But we are a big body of churches, and I'm really trusting for us to step out, even as a small congregation, to step out in faith in terms of being a part of what God is doing on a global scale. So one great opportunity is that the Empower 21 conference is happening in London in May. So this is on our doorstep. It's like the World Cup, you know. There's almost no excuse not to just go and watch at least one game, you know. But it's going to be on our doorstep. It's going to be in London. It's, what's the 11th? It's probably in the week. Somebody can check it for me. What's the 11th of May? But you may have to take a day of leave. But I'm saying, consider this now. Plan ahead, because something like that is something that is just adds so much impetus to your faith walk. It has such power to, especially if we do it together. Amen. If we throw everything into it. Now, we were talking around strategy about how to really make that event work for us as a congregation as well. But that's just one of the things that I want us to look ahead and say, yes, you know what, God, I wasn't able this year, but I want to trust that next year I'm going to be part of that. Or I'm going to actually, if for some reason I can't, if I'm going to be in labor or something, then I'm going to trust God to help somebody else to get there. Amen. There's the men's camp in the Cape. There's the Women's Awaken Conference. There's actually three of those now. There's one in the north as well, and one in Namibia. And in a couple of years, there will be, or maybe shorter time, we'll have one here in Europe. The prayer and fasts are happening. Those are obviously happening here as well, 18th to 20th of January and 18th to 20th of July. Our local conference, 26th to 29th of August. And then again, like I mentioned, the convergence one end of September. But I want to challenge us, and I want to throw it out to you guys in terms of small group as well. Talking about it now, saying, guys, let's put our faith out. I remember when I used to do missions twice a year as a student. Guys, I had no money, like zero. And as you know, as a student, I had no time either. So that was just a miracle. It's a miracle, all right? Okay, now in my situation, let me just add, I was employed by the Air Force while I was studying, so I had to work also in the holidays. It wasn't really work, but I had to go to the office. And yeah, we did do some work, but but somehow, whenever I said, Lord, where should I go? What should I be doing? Where can I put my time and my money? Trust you for money. Miraculously, God would provide because I was allowing Him to direct my step according to His will. My step. So do this in mostly as a family. You know, in family, most of us have families and children. So plan ahead, but trust God. Step out and say, okay, maybe as a family we're going to attend one of the ministry camps next year, or we've done that once or twice as a family, and it's. It's pretty intense, but it's amazing at the same time because normally there is provision made for the children, so that's a blessing. Or even if it just means, okay, I wasn't able this year, but I'm going to go for the UK conference this time, and I'm going to bring somebody along. Okay, so that's why I'm putting those up there. And now we're going to pray. Okay, let's go to the next one. I've run out of time, but I mean, just. A very few key points on prayer. Praying into a situation, whether you're praying for your own, for yourself or somebody else, obviously the key is to pray in line with Scripture and in line with the will of God. Amen? So it's the best, one of the best ways to pray the will of God is to pray Scripture. Okay? Pray Scripture, pray with others in agreement. There's such a power when we come in agreement in prayer about something. Scripture actually says when two or more agree about something, it will be done. Okay? So with the will of God, in agreement with others, praying in the Spirit is so important especially when we don't know exactly what to pray for. We pray in the Spirit, we allow Holy Spirit to direct us in our prayers. As He did with David. This is what you should do. This is the direction you should go in. This is what you should pray. And then pray with perseverance. In other words, as we mentioned before, even when there's no result immediately, even when there's no visible change immediately, that to keep on with that confession of hope and keep on saying, okay, Lord, you're still convicting me to pray about this. I will not stop. I will continue to pray. Okay. All right, we're going to just take a few minutes now. To pray, if you go to the next one, to pray through four main points. I want us to pair up, if it works out, to pair up ladies and guys. And to pray, number one, for one. So if you have one specific need for yourself or your family, come and pray a prayer of agreement about. Now, a prayer of agreement means it's short, okay, but it's powerful because you say, God, this is what the situation is. And you bring it before God. You pray a prayer of faith. It's not necessarily a long prayer because God knows the situation. But it is a prayer where you say, this is what I'm trusting for. And there's, we agree on it. We say, yes, we agree. Amen. That's a prayer of agreement. So I would say one main prayer need for yourself and your family. Place of influence, I've said, I had it as a workplace, but if you want to think of it of a different way, wherever you have influence, whether it be in your family life, in your community, through the children, whatever you're busy with, that place of that you have, it could be your workplace, it could be the local play group, whatever you have connections with people and you know there's a potential of influencing people positively. Amen. So pray for into that, maybe one or two specific people. Communities. Now, we represent different communities here in the area. So at the same time, we're trusting for men of peace. We're trusting for key men. The scripture speaks of men of peace in those specific areas to come to salvation. Okay, so in the communities, we're praying for men of peace. So it'll be Hersham, Walton, Weybridge, Chertsey, Bagshot. It's a bit way out, so we'll convince you guys to pray with us. But we have nothing against the Bagshot. Okay. And then, but very importantly, we've been dealing with some challenges in terms of just the assignments on the unity of the Spirit that pop up, especially around relationships, and has happened in London a couple of times the last couple of months. So if we can pray for that, and also for us locally here, for the unity of the Spirit. In other words, whatever God has prepared for us here, that we would be in unity, as Richard was sharing, that we lock shields of faith in terms of not only protection, but also advancing what God is doing, what God is wanting to do through us. Amen? Okay, so we have about 5 minutes. So if we can pair up 2-2, if you're comfortable to do that, let's spend 5 minutes to pray through these 4 points, prayers of agreement. But what I'm also trusting for, I'm going to just pray. I'm going to pray before we do that. And please remember to take one of the invites. There should be one next to you, or near you. Please just take one. You can take lots, but to take at least one. But I'm just quickly going to pray for us. I mean, before we pray, I'm going to just pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you that you empower us by your Spirit, that you choose to partner with us to see your kingdom come. We thank you for the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the infilling of your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for how you choose to empower us to pray in partnership with you, God. And right now, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for a fresh desire, Lord, a new desire to stand in the gap for others, but also, Lord, to boldly approach the throne of grace, Lord, to obtain help in time of need, to boldly come to you, Lord, to persevere, Lord, in what you are convicting us to pray about, and to see your kingdom come, Lord, as we partner with you in our own lives, but also in this community, in your kingdom coming here, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, let your kingdom come in power, Lord. Thank you for the power of the gospel. Thank you for the power of the cross, Lord, at work in and through us, in our prayers, Lord, in our lives, God, and through our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's pray.